Item on the back of your bulletin, if you received one when you came in, ask my brethren to sometimes look around and make sure everyone has one if they would like one. But the notes for the lesson this morning on the back of your bulletin. And don't get discouraged with 18 things on the notes. I will finish in 20 minutes. Even though there's 18 things. I can't promise you that, but that's the goal. Titled your notes, Biblical Testimonies About Jesus. You know, one of the teachings by way of introduction, and you don't have this in your notes, but one of the teaching methods of Jesus was to ask questions. And there's a question that we're going to ask in our lesson this morning that's significant. It's important. Jesus comes to Caesarea Philippi and he asked his disciples, it's in Matthew 16, beginning at verse 13. This is not in your notes. But Matthew 16, verse 13, here's the question. Jesus said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Others say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." The question we're asking in our lesson this morning is, who do you say that Jesus is? The time that Jesus asked the question, this time he asked it of the Pharisees. It's in Matthew 22, verse 42. Jesus asked them, meaning the scribes and the Pharisees, saying, "Who do you think, or what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" It's an important question even for us today. It's going to determine our eternity, our destiny, these two questions. Who do you say that Jesus is? What do you think of the Christ? Whose son is he? There's been a lot of answers, even in our generation. Many of them are totally wrong answers to the question. Some choose correctly. But the Bible gives us the right answer. Some say, you ask people in our world, our neighborhood, who do you say the Son of Man is, or what do you think of Jesus, whose son is he? Some people say, well, I think he's an imposter. There are some others that hold the view, oh, he was just a man in history. And still you ask others, and they'll say, oh, he was a man in history, but what a good man he was. Others may say, oh, he was a great teacher for his time. There's general agreement that, oh, he was a man that had worldwide influence. Yeah. And then there are those, like hopefully us, who confidently believe him to be the Son of God. And we believe the biblical record that says this is Jesus, the Son of God. But how do we determine the right answer? How are we going to, with all of these different answers to the question, which one is right? Then how are we determined which one is right? So in this lesson, I'm going to take the biblical account of Jesus' life, and I want to focus, as you can tell in your notes, the testimony of those who knew Jesus firsthand. So imagine yourself kind of sitting in a jury box, and you're listening to the testimony of these people, and they are witness to the question, what do you think of the Christ? All right, so we're going to bring each of these up to the front, so to speak. and asked them the question, what do you think of Christ? Whose son is he? So the first one, and rightly so, I'm going to ask the enemies to speak. I think that's fair. We call on the testimony of those who really didn't appreciate him. But what's your conclusion about Jesus? Well, number one, we have the temple officers. And they were sent by the chief priest to arrest Jesus. The temple officers said, you go to the other, you go get this man named Jesus and bring him back. Arrest him. So the officers, they made the good mistake of when they found Jesus, they listened to him. They were listening to his message to the multitudes. And they were so impressed by what Jesus said that they couldn't arrest him. They said they never heard a man speak like that. And so when they came back to the chief priests or the temple officers, the chief priests asked in John 7, verse 45, why didn't you bring him? They answered, what do you think of the Christ? And that's the question. They said, never a man spoke like this man. Oh, so what do you think of the Christ? We never heard anybody talk like that. Impressive. So they didn't arrest him. Then numbered among the enemies would be the Pharisees. They were the bitter enemies of Jesus. Even though they were the religious leaders of the day, they didn't appreciate what Jesus had to say. So in Luke 15, beginning of verse 1, then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to Jesus to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained. And they said, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Pharisees, what do you think of Jesus? Well, he receives sinners and eats with them. And Matthew records it in Matthew 27, verse 41. It says, likewise, the chief priests also, mocking the scribes and elders, said, mocking with the scribes and the elders, said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save, referring to the crucifixion. If he's the king of Israel, let him come down from the cross and we'll believe him. He trusted in God. Let God deliver him now if he'll have him. For he said, I'm the son of God. You look at that. I wonder if any of those charges are so serious to cause a condemnation of Jesus and a crucifixion. The scribes, the Pharisees, they said, oh, what do you think of this man? Oh, he eats with sinners. He receives sinners. Their estimation of Jesus, oh, he saved others. He's the king of Israel. He trusted in God. Now, these are the enemies talking. He trusted in God. He said, I'm the son of God. That's your charges against Jesus? What do you think of the Christ? They didn't appreciate him, but they made some right conclusions. Number three is Caiaphas. He's the high priest at the time of Jesus' crucifixion. Caiaphas is one of those high priests that called for the crucifixion of Jesus. And during Caiaphas' examination of Jesus, he asked the question in Matthew 20, beginning of verse 62. The high priest arose and said to him, meaning Jesus, do you answer nothing? In other words, Jesus kept silent during his trials. So the high priest says, you're not answering anything. What is it that these men testify against you? But Jesus kept silent. The high priest answered and said, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you're the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, it's as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you'll see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. The high priest, hearing that, tore his clothes, and he says, you're speaking blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look. He tells the priest to the people, you've heard his blasphemy. What do you think? They answered, he's deserving of death. The only charge that Caiaphas could bring against Jesus was Jesus' claim to be the Son of God, which is no charge at all if it's proven true. Caiaphas, what do you think of the Christ? Tell us if you're the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said, it's as you said. Jesus was correct. Caiaphas is wrong in that Jesus committed blasphemy. Number four, you know, so let's bring to the table or to the jury box Mr. and Mrs. Pilate. Pilate, as you know, was the Roman governor. He was stationed in Palestine at this time. And after a full and complete examination of Jesus, when he stands before Pilate, Pilate said in Luke 23, verse 4, I find no fault in the man. No fault. Pilate's wife comes out and gives additional testimony. In Matthew 27, verse 19, Mrs. Pilate, I'll call her, says, have nothing to do with this just man. A just man. Pilate, what do you think? No fault in this man. Mrs. Pilate, what do you think? I think he's a just man. Then interesting is number five is Judas. He's the disciple whose action is, in a sense, puzzling. Because Judas was one of the 12 apostles all the way or throughout Jesus' public ministry of 3 years. Judas is one that has firsthand information. Judas has witnessed the power of Jesus. He's heard Jesus pray. He's listened to Jesus' teaching. He followed Jesus. But then he betrays Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane with a hypocritical kiss. But that's not his final testimony. Judas sees Jesus arrested. He sees Jesus given a mock trial. So he returns the 30 pieces of silver back to the chief priests, and now his conclusion is in Matthew 27, verse 4, I've sinned in that I've betrayed innocent blood. Judas, what do you think of Jesus? Oh, he's innocent. Innocent blood. Number six is the Roman centurion. He's the man that's charged with overseeing the crucifixion. He's the one that makes sure those who are crucified on the cross. And he was so impressed with the events that take place at the cross, he declares in Matthew 27, verse 54, he says, truly. Yeah. In other words, as a matter of fact, truly. Or in a sense, boy, it's been proven. And he says, truly, this was the Son of God. The Roman centurion. Number seven, we'll call to the stand one of the thieves that's crucified with Jesus. In Luke 23, beginning of verse 39, one of the criminals who was hanged blasphemed Jesus, said, if you're the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other thief answered, rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing that you're under the same condemnation? We indeed justly suffer, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. But this man, meaning Jesus, this man has done nothing wrong. The testimony of others, even Jesus' enemies, what do you have to say about Jesus? Then there's the demons, the spirit world. In James 2, verse 19, James addresses his congregation, and he tells them, you believe there's one God? And that's a good thing. Oh, I believe there's one God. He says, oh, you do well. But even the demons believe and tremble. You believe there's one God? Well, the demons believe that too, but they tremble. So James writes and says to his congregation, don't love God in word only, but in deed, in truth. Live your faith. James is saying. Do that which is right based upon your faith that Jesus is the Son of God and that you believe that. Then you have the chief priests in number 9. They paid others for a false testimony. It's in Matthew 28, beginning of verse 11. It says, now while they were going after the resurrection, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that happened. So here those that were among the guard, they said, well, Jesus has died on the cross, been buried. So they go back and report to the chief priests what happened at the crucifixion. So it says, so when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers. Chief priests gave a large sum of money to the soldiers. And they said, tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. In other words, there wasn't a resurrection. Tell them, I'll pay you, soldiers, to tell a false story. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure for telling a false story. So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. What do you think of Jesus? Well, I think we better pay to have false testimony issued out. So here's the enemies of Jesus talking. Those who opposed him. But you note that each testimony still glorifies Jesus as the Son of God and really doesn't defeat him at all. So let's let his friends speak. Number 10 is John the Baptist. That was in the text that was read to us. John's the forerunner of Jesus. John the Baptist is the one who announces the arrival of Jesus. But even, and the Bible says in the text that was read to us, you know, John preaches to his disciples, but in John chapter 1, verse 29, John says, behold, Jesus is walking by, and John says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John, what do you think of Jesus? He's the Lamb of God. Takes away the sins of the world. In verse 34, John says, and I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Yeah. John bears witness. Jesus, who are you? What do you think of Jesus? The Lamb of God. Lamb of God. Then there's Simon Peter. He's the fisherman that follows Jesus, and Peter is one of the apostles of Jesus. And he answers Jesus' question. In Matthew 16, verse 16, when Jesus says, who do men say that I am? But then he said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And even later, even after Peter denies Jesus, after Jesus ascends to heaven, Peter stands up and preaches a good news gospel message in Acts chapter 2. And he says in verse 36, to that audience that's there, he says in verse 20 and 21, you're the ones that have crucified and slain the Son of God. You, with your wicked hands, have done that. Then in verse 36, Peter says, the same Peter that denied Jesus says, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. Peter, what do you think of Jesus? He's the Christ, the Son of God. He's the Lord. Number 12 is John. He's the disciple who describes himself as the one that Jesus loved. In John 1, verse 1, it was read to us, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. In verse 14, that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John, what do you think of Jesus? Well, he was there with God in the beginning. He became flesh, dwelt among us. Then there's Thomas, number 13 in your notes. He's called Didymus. The word Didymus means he's a twin. But Thomas, many times, is called Doubting Thomas by people. But however, his doubt was... He doubted because he wasn't present when Jesus presented himself to the apostles in the closed room after his resurrection. Thomas wasn't there. That's when Jesus showed the disciples, here, see the marks in my hands and my side. And when they leave the room, they go out and they see Thomas. They say, Thomas, we've seen the Christ. Thomas said, unless I see him, I'm not going to believe. Unless I put my finger, in the prints, the nail prints, I'll not believe. And that's a good thing, Thomas. But remember, Thomas may have remembered Jesus said, beware of false prophets. Beware of people that go out and say, I'm the Christ. Thomas may remember those words of Jesus. And the other apostles had firsthand information that Thomas didn't have. So Thomas says, unless I see, I'm not going to believe. So then they have another meeting, and Thomas is there. And Jesus says, come closer, Thomas. Reach your hand, touch the nail scars that's there. And then when Thomas sees the evidence, he says in John chapter 20, verse 28, my Lord and my God. Thomas, what do you think of the Christ? Oh, he's my Lord. He's my God. Because he accepted the evidence. Then there's others that speak. Number 14 in your notes, there's the men of Decapolis. Jesus was in the region of Decapolis, and he was preaching there. He worked miracles, and then he left. And then in Mark 7, verse 37, it says, they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. Yeah. What do you think of Jesus? Oh, he does everything right. He does it well. Number 15, Saul of Tarsus. At first, as you know, familiar with the story, Saul persecuted Christians. And then he became one of them. A persecutor first, I'm going to be one of you. And then it says in Philippians 3, verse 8, Paul said, yet indeed I count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord. Oh, Saul, you made a change based upon the evidence. Saul, you made a change based upon the message that's been given to you. Saul, you made a change. What's your estimation of Jesus now? Well, I'm not going to persecute him. I count everything I have loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He said in 1 Timothy 1, verse 12, I'm not ashamed, for I know. Oh, now you know. I know him in whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Then you have the voices of heaven. Put in your notes, the angels, they made the announcement prior to Jesus' birth to the shepherds in Luke 2, verse 10. The angel said to them, to the shepherds, don't be afraid. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The angelic hosts give testimony. Who is Jesus? Oh, he's a Savior. He's Christ the Lord. Then in number 17 in your notes, there's a heavenly host, thousands, and they're pictured in the Revelation letter. In Revelation 5, begin at verse 11. I looked, I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures, the elders. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. What do you think of Jesus? Just like John said, behold the Lamb of God, takes away the sins of the world. Worthy is the Lamb. Then there's God himself. Matthew 3, verse 17, at the baptism of Jesus, the voice from heaven came out and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Even God identifies the Son. Who are you, Jesus? God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. In Matthew chapter 17, Jesus is on the mount with Peter and Elijah, or with Moses and Elijah. And a cloud comes down, and the cloud drifts away, and Jesus stands by himself. And the voice from heaven this time says, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. And then there's the added note, hear ye him. So God said at Jesus' baptism, this is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased. But at the mount, when you see Moses and Elijah, and then they are left away, taken away, Jesus stands, God adds, hear him. Hear him. Jesus gets the last word. You've heard 18 testimonies. Notice that these are in your notes. You've heard 9 from his enemies who are unable to bring a credible fault against Jesus. You've heard from 4 friends who gave their lives as testimony to Jesus being genuine. You've heard from 2 contemporaries, and they gave testimony to the influence that Jesus had on them. You've heard 3 testimonies from heaven, giving substance to our faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In that story where the disciples met behind the closed doors, right before Jesus ascended to the Father and he presents the evidence to them, in John 20, verse 29, Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you've seen me, you've believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. And truly did Jesus many other signs in the presence of his disciples, the verse continues, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe. And believing you might have, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, believing you might have life through his name. Oh, we've heard the testimonies. But these are written for us, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So our lesson this morning, we began with the question, what do you think of Christ? Whose son is he? What do you think of the Christ? Now it's your turn to answer the question. If you believe that he's the Christ, the Son of God, you'll want to repent of your sins, as Jesus said in Luke 13, verse 3. Except you repent, you'll perish. Oh, but I believe. Well, you need to repent too. Then you'll want to confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son, as the Ethiopian did when Philip preached unto him Jesus. And the Ethiopian said, see, interrupted his sermon, said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe, you may. He said, well, I believe. He made his confession. I believe the evidence. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then Philip said, stop the chariot. King James Version says he commanded the chariot to stand still. Stop the chariot. And they both went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Came up out of the water. The Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. Not content with believing only, he was baptized. Baptized for remission of his sins. Fulfillment of Jesus' commission before he ascended back to the Father. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, Jesus says to his disciples, you go into all the world to preach the gospel, the good news to every creature. He that believes, yeah, and is baptized shall be saved. So that's the invitation we extend at the close of every lesson. If you have not obeyed that command, you had that opportunity. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve, you need to let it be known at the close of this song that we're going to sing. If you're subject to it, please respond accordingly. Let's stand together. We'll sing this song of invitation, song of exhortation. It's number 493. 493.